Our job is to work with this new government that God has put in place, to honor and respect them, to encourage this Liberal Trudeau government to pursue justice and righteousness. And I'm confident that ARPA and the broader Christian community is up to the task.
We have dozens of MPs in the Conservative Party who are pro-life and who are not now under the muzzling of their leader. We're going to have a leadership race. This is going to allow a lot more freedom. And as we saw with Motion 312, as we saw with Motion 408, when bills or motions pertaining to preborn human rights are introduced into the House of Commons, Canada starts talking and Canadians get educated as to exactly what's going on in our country.
We're going to try and meet with as many MPs, Liberal MPs and others, to try to convey our very serious concerns about legalizing euthanasia.
In reality, we know there are many other like-minded Bible-believing Christians in this country who do really want to stand up for what's right. And we belong to a body that extends worldwide that we're a part of. And most importantly, the Lord is with us and we're not alone, not any of us.
On the program today, a full edition interview with four leading ARPA staff members on the results of this week's Canadian federal election.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
This week, a special full edition interview on Lighthouse News. We recap the results of Monday's federal election and look ahead to what's next for ARPA and for the Christian community in general in the context of the new reality in Ottawa. First, a brief recap of the election itself. It's a Liberal majority government, 184 seats for Justin Trudeau's party. The Conservatives will be in opposition with 99 seats. Stephen Harper has told his party president he'll be stepping down as leader. The NDP were reduced to just 44 seats in Parliament. Their so-called orange crush in Quebec in the 2011 election evaporated. The Bloc Québécois has 10 seats, and Elizabeth May held on to the lone seat for the Green Party. On Tuesday morning, just a few hours after the polls had closed and all the votes had been counted, I gathered four leading ARPA staff members together for some analysis of the results. We talked about the election in general, the implication for the Christian community, and for ARPA's lobbying efforts going forward. We also looked at the political fate of some of the members of Parliament who were quite friendly to ARPA's cause, and some of the new ones who have come on board. Mark Penninga, ARPA's Executive Director, Mike Schutten with We Need a Law, staff lawyer Andre Schutten, and policy analyst Colin Postma, all joining me from their various offices around the country. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks.
Well, it was quite a night last night. Mark, can we start with you sort of as the director of ARPA? Talk to me a little bit about not just the election results, but the campaign, the issues that have been important to ARPA over the last number of years. Did they get an airing? What do these results mean for Christians who are engaged in politics in Canada?
Al, if there was ever a time where Canada needs a solid Christian witness in the public square, it's now, under a Liberal majority government. ARPA's second mission is to bring a biblical perspective to our civil government, and we've now been given an incredible responsibility and an opportunity to do that for a government that will be very unaware of a Christian and principled perspective on key issues of significance such as freedom, faith, and family. Now, what caused the seismic shift? Well, we know Canada really is a secular nation. The highest value for most Canadians is to be whatever they want to be, to do whatever they want to do. And 10 years of a government that showed fiscal and moral restraint was too much for many in our secular land. They wanted a government that was really all about themselves. So secular humanists decided it was time for the Harper Conservative government to go. The Liberal government was the vehicle to accomplish that. Now our job is to work with this new government that God has put in place, to honor and respect them, to encourage this Liberal Trudeau government to pursue justice and righteousness. And I'm confident that ARPA and the broader Christian community is up to the task.
Mike, you were on the road with Life Tour for most of the last month of the campaign.
How much impact did that have on the overall tenor of the campaign? Did we, for example, get any candidates to make commitments on the issues we identified on the tour? And did any of the candidates who made commitments actually win election? Have you had a chance to sort of do that research?
There's actually a lot of candidates who were committed to bringing in or supporting regulations or restrictions on abortion who actually did not get voted in. Candidates like Kyle Seaback, Stella Ambler, Pierre Lemieux, very solid pro-life candidates who are willing to take their position and make it public, did not get elected last night. So that certainly is a disappointment. But we have dozens of MPs in the Conservative Party who are pro-life and who are not now under the muzzling of their leader. We're going to have a leadership race. This is going to allow a lot more freedom. And as we saw with Motion 312, as we saw with Motion 408, when bills or motions pertaining to preborn human rights are introduced into the House of Commons, Canada starts talking, and Canadians get educated as to exactly what's going on in our country. So no matter what Justin Trudeau thinks about whether or not abortion is a charter right, Canadians are beginning to understand that this is an injustice. So we have lots of optimism going forward.
Colin, you're the policy guy. From our perspective, and this is a little bit more esoteric, but did any of our sort of philosophical issues, stuff like sphere sovereignty and governance in general and the way Christians approach that, did those things get a decent airing during the campaign, in your opinion?
You know, I was a little bit disappointed, to be honest with you, that quite a few of the main issues that we had hoped would come up in the election didn't get discussed at all. The life issue would be one area that I was hoping to see a lot more discussion about, particularly because of the fact that we've got this Carter decision that came down from the Supreme Court of Canada on the euthanasia issue. This election is kind of a hinge for that particular case. The outcome of that will depend on what kind of rules we have in place to protect the elderly, the disabled, those with severe illnesses and that. And that basically didn't come up. The topic of family was talked about a little bit more, but it was mostly in terms of kind of economic incentives. And it was kind of this difference between the parties where some would prefer the state to raise the children and would pay you to kind of have that happen so you could go out and be working, rather than trying to help families to afford having one of the parents staying home and raising the child. Sphere sovereignty, again, all of the parties are fairly big government kind of parties. They talk about providing incentives, giving tax breaks, you know, spreading money out, taking it from rich, giving it to the poor. There's unfortunately a lot of this kind of big brother, big government kind of thing going on.
Andre, Colin raised the issue of Carter. Parliament, the new parliament with the new government, has till February to come up with a decision. I know ARPA sent a circular to all the candidates in the campaign with that latest legal opinion that we featured on Lighthouse News a couple of weeks ago. Where's that one going to go now? What's your take on that one?
This is going to come down to a question of strategy, Al. Unfortunately, Mr. Trudeau, of the three main leaders, he's the only one who's actually come out in any sort of way during the campaign on the euthanasia issue, and he's the one who's come out most strongly in favor of legalizing euthanasia and assisted suicide, which is a bad omen. So I very much doubt that Mr. Trudeau and the new governing party will even entertain that idea. We're going to try. We're going to try and meet with as many MPs, Liberal MPs and others, to try to convey our very serious concerns about legalizing euthanasia. But if it becomes very clear that they have no intention whatsoever to pass an absolute ban or prohibition on assisted suicide, then we may have to change tactics and do what we can to limit or mitigate the evil that is assisted suicide.
Mark, do we know of any MPs who were elected who are known to be sort of sympathetic to ARPA's positions? I guess another way of asking that is, will we have any friends at all in this new parliament based on, you know, the history, the kind of friends we had before? I'm thinking of Maurice Vellacott and some of those guys who retired.
One of the encouraging developments was that we can see many new and old, strong voices for life and family were still either re-elected or elected for the first time. There's a solid group of new pro-life MPs that's emerging from Alberta. These are young faces, many of them under 35, that have already showed they're willing to tackle controversial issues like abortion. I know that one of them in particular is no stranger to us. Arnold Viersen won the riding up in Peace River Westlock. He's been an active board member with ARPA Barrhead Nerlandia, but there's other familiar faces that we'll see in the new parliament. Mark Warawa, Brad Trost, Michael Chong, Dean Allison, Harold Albrecht, Bev Shipley. These are people that many of the local ARPA groups, many of the Reformed Church community, and ourselves have worked with in various ways. There's also been a few other losses. A big one is Member of Parliament Lawrence Tote from Winnipeg. Looks like, so far, though it's not finalized, but it looks like he's lost by a mere 51 votes in his riding. So I'm sure there'll be a recount, but the impact of that recount will definitely be of interest to many of us. So in summary, there's still a significant group of MPs that we'll be able to work with closely, and one of our goals is to build relationships with the new members of Parliament, regardless of what political stripe they're of.
To close, a bit of a free-for-all, and anybody can answer this, and you guys can sort of discuss it among yourselves, but spitball the new Parliament for me in terms of the priorities. You know, I'm looking in the paper this morning, and I'm seeing the expectations being placed on our new Prime Minister, or not being placed, but that are sort of out there. You know, one of the top priorities is going to be decriminalizing marijuana, because that was one of his big things. But beyond those kind of run-of-the-mill things, generally speaking, what actual difference will this election outcome have for Christians in their daily lives? I don't know who wants to weigh in first, but go ahead.
I'll take a shot. Andre here. I'd say there's four issues. Euthanasia, we've already touched on, very real concern. Prostitution and the vulnerability of trafficked women in this country. We're hoping that we can convince the Liberal government to at least wait and see what the effects are of the new prostitution law. Give us another 4 years with that law to measure the outcomes, and if there is in fact a decrease in human trafficking, a decrease in violence against women, then we should keep going with a good thing. Certainly that's one line of lobbying that I hope to pursue. Two other issues. One is the funding of abortion overseas. Mr. Trudeau has indicated that he would revisit that and possibly reinstate that, which is a very real concern for us morally and opposed to that. And finally, the question of the Trinity Western University intervention is perhaps an interesting one for our listeners. Up till now, the Harper government and the federal government has intervened in all three of the Trinity Western court cases on behalf of or in support of Trinity Western. We're not sure now if that's going to change. Are we going to see those interventions cease? Or perhaps now that we're at the Court of Appeal in each of the three provinces, perhaps now we're going to see the federal government intervening against Trinity Western. So that will be an interesting one to watch.
Anybody else?
I have a few thoughts, just general thoughts. It's Mike here, and I think of something that Mark said earlier about how we now have a government that essentially reflects where the Canadian culture is at, and it's disappointing that our culture is continuing to slip towards this service of man. But I am not convinced that that's the case. I think our country is a lot more conservative than the results of last night show. Most Canadians, I think they have no idea what type of government they just voted in. They just simply voted for change. And when Canadians wake up in a couple months and there's deficit budgets being introduced, I think they're going to realize that, hey, what's going on here? Like, what's happening?
You know, in Alberta, provincially, there's a lot of, if I can use the word, buyer's remorse in the wake of what happened there in the provincial election last year. I'm wondering whether you guys have a sense that maybe we're going to be facing the same thing federally here before too long.
I would suspect, tying into what I just said earlier, this is Mike again, that will be the case. I'm convinced that Canadians last night did not vote in Liberal government. They voted out a Harper government. And that's the unfortunate reality.
Colin, your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I would echo those thoughts. In kind of a different tone, reflecting what Mike was saying earlier, my wife and I were kind of discussing the results of the campaign last night. We were a little disappointed by the results, but the question came up, you know, well, what's God's hand in all of this, and where is God going with this? It's easy for us to question what God's purpose is behind elections, behind things like this. And then I came across 1 Kings chapter 19 and a couple of verses from 13 to 18 where Elijah thinks that he's the only one who's standing up for what's right. And I think it can easily feel like we're alone. We're the only ones who know the truth and proclaim it, and that no one else is listening. And so similarly, Elijah ran away and hid from Jezebel. And then God comes to him and says, I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal. In reality, we know there are many other like-minded Bible-believing Christians in this country who do really want to stand up for what's right. And we belong to a body that extends worldwide that we're a part of. And most importantly, the Lord is with us and we're not alone, not any of us. So while we can easily get discouraged by these results, I think it's important for us to realize that ultimately God is still in control.
Gentlemen, I think on that note, we're going to wrap it up.
Thanks. Thank you, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you all very much.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Production Manager, Brian Grimm.
Technical Director Nate Bosher. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arcticcanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.